hold button, push it down.
Okay.
And then hit the record button.
Okay, we'll do it again. I think we have it. But I don't know. In every generation, there has to be an individual that stands up for Jacob. And so in my generation, I'm the individual that will stand up for Jacob. I think Jacob has a bad name, and I don't think Jacob ought to have that name. So what we're going to do is we're going to study Jacob this morning. There'll be 4 points. First is concerning his life in the womb. The second will be when he sought to buy the birthright from Esau. The third will be Isaac's blessing upon him. And thirdly will be the wrestling match that he has with the angel of the Lord. Those are our 4 points. So we start with the first point concerning the struggle in the womb. Now notice in our text that God says to Rebekah, when she's pregnant, why am I having this difficulty? Why am I having this difficulty with my pregnancy? And so she seeks out the Lord to ask him why she's having problems with his pregnancy. And the Lord says, the reason you're having this problem in his pregnancy is that you have two nations in your womb who are battling each other. Now, wives, when they become pregnant, like to say to their husbands, feel me, and you can feel the child kicking in the womb. But you see, this is not a child kicking in the womb. These are two men kicking in the womb. And why are they kicking in the womb? Because God says that the older will serve the younger, and the older is against it. Now we find in Romans 9:13 that the basic problem is God says, I love Jacob. I hate Esau. Now that is what the struggling is all about in the womb. You see, Jacob is controlled by God even in the womb. In the womb, he seeks to supplant his brother. It's not his idea, it's God's idea. God says to Jacob, you will be master of your brother. And in the womb, he's trying to take mastery of his brother. And when they come out, Esau comes first. But as he comes out, his brother takes him by the heel. And that's what the word Jacob means. It means supplanter. But why is he a supplanter? He is a supplanter because God has placed it in his heart to be a supplanter. God is ruling his life even in the womb. He is taking control of his brother. And his brother is fighting him because he doesn't want to give him control of his life. So you see, from the very beginning of their life, God had placed in Jacob a desire to mastery and have the blessings of God upon his life. Now, we would say to ourselves, okay, now they're born. Now, what are the parents going to do about this? Now, it doesn't say in Scripture, and I can't prove it in Scripture. But knowing the biblical narrative, it would seem logical to me that Rebekah would say to her husband, Isaac, the younger will be master of the older. I believe that she told her husband, I cannot prove it from Scripture, but I believe it to be true. And then what do we find in Scripture? Look at the 28th verse. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. Isn't that a wonderful thing? He loves his son because he likes to eat his food. Notice what it says. And Rebekah loved Jacob. Why did Rebekah love Jacob? Why did she love Jacob? Because she was told by God that Jacob would be the superior one. So she loves what God loves. You know, every parent, every child, they have this debate that goes on. Who does mom and dad really love the best? Who is our favorite? And my wife and I had Daniel and Rachel, and they would argue. And when I find out about it, I was really happy. Because neither one of them knew who I really loved. They thought the other one was to be loved. And they will never find out, because I'll never tell them. But the point of it is, you see, Rebecca not only loves her son because she loves him, but because it's God's choice. It's God's choice. And she loves God's choice. Now we come to the second point. The second point is the selling of the birthright. Now I believe that Jacob has been told by his mother that God said to her, you will have mastery of your brother. He wants the mastery. So to have the mastery, the first point is, he wants the birthright. So here comes Esau in. He's a hunter. He's tired. He's hungry. And he says to Jacob, give me something to eat. And Jacob says, okay, we're going to begin. Sell me your birthright. And what does Esau say? What good is a birthright to me? I'm about ready to die. You see his impatience. He has no patience whatsoever. Children are like that on many occasions. No, of course, adults are like that also. Impatient. But Esau is impatient. He said, I'll say the birthright. What good is it to me? And so he sold his birthright. But notice what God says that means in the 34th verse. The last part of that verse. And Esau despised his birthright. He sold his birthright. Why did he sell it? Why? Because he despised it. He despised his birthright. We'll talk more about that this evening. Now, I want you to turn over now to the third point. And that is when Isaac was going to sell, when Isaac is old and he is going to bless his son with the birthright. With the covenant blessing. And so he calls in Esau. He says, why don't you go out and bring in my favorite dish. And Rebecca hears this. And Rebecca said, wait a minute. You know, this is out of control. This is not the way it's supposed to go. It's Jacob that has the birthright. He's supposed to have the blessing. Not Esau. And my husband is not thinking correctly. And I don't know how, I don't know what I'm supposed to do, but this is not right. So she goes to her son, and she says, I want you to go out, get a lamb. I know what your father likes to eat. I'll prepare the food, and you go in and play like you are Esau. And what does Jacob say? Jacob says, no way! No way am I going to do this. Notice what he says in Genesis 27th chapter of Genesis, the 14th verse. My father peradventure will fail me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I will bring a curse upon me, and not a blessing. Jacob says, and no way I'm going to do this, because if he finds out that I lied to him, the birthright will mean nothing to me. He'll curse me. Notice what his mother says. This is Rebecca in the 13th verse. His mother said to him, upon me be thy curse. Now, I don't know if she really means this or not. But she says, I will take the curse. I think what she's really meaning is, don't worry about it. Because God told me that you would be mastery of your son. The birthright belongs to you. There'll be no cursing. She didn't say that. But she says as a mother, if you are worried about that, Jacob, if you are really worried about that, then I will take the curse. I will take the curse. Don't worry about it. And so Jacob goes on with it. He does it. Now notice, if you will, Isaac. Isaac, in the 23rd verse, this is after Jacob has left. Esau has come into the tent. Isaac now knows that he blessed what he thought was the wrong son. Notice what he says in the 33rd verse. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, who? Where is he that hath taken the venison and brought it to me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest and have blessed him? Question mark. Yea, and he shall be blessed. You see, Isaac finally comes to his senses. He's been sleeping. We say of men, they're daydreaming or they're sleeping. You know, that, you know, individuals don't always think the way they're supposed to think. And Isaac is not thinking the way he should think. He had been told by his wife that the younger would be master of the older. But he can't get it in his frontal lobe. He's sleeping. He's sleeping spiritually. He's not being the man that he's supposed to be. But now, see, now the truth comes upon him. I was wrong. I blessed the wrong one, but the one I didn't bless, which I thought was wrong, was right. He is blessed. Because that is what God wants for him. That's what God wants for my son, Jacob, to be superior to his brother Esau. And so finally Isaac wakes up from his spiritual slumber and knows that he has done the right thing. Now, the fourth point. This is over in Genesis 32. Genesis 32. Now, what is happening here in the life of Jacob? He's gone to Laban, and now he has returned. And the worst nightmare of his entire life is Esau. Because Esau said to him, when he had the birthright of his father, I'll kill him. His parents believed him. That's why they told him to go. Now he's coming back. And the word that he has is Esau is coming. He not only is coming, but he's bringing his cavalry with him. Men of 400. And the only thing that Jacob has in his frontal lobe is, he's going to slaughter everybody because he's still hot in anger. Now that very night in which he's waiting for his brother to come and dreading that, he has a wrestling match. Now if you notice in the 25th verse of the 32nd chapter, and when he saw, that's the angel, and when he saw that he prevailed not against them. Now you have to be very careful here. You have to read between the lines here. Here is an angel. I believe the angel to be, I cannot prove it, but I believe him to be the second person of the Trinity. But he's an angel nevertheless. Now an angel has no difficulty in defeating a mortal man. It says he was not prevailing. But what I think he's meaning between the lines is, Jacob will not give up. I think that's the point. But I'm reading into it. You have to understand that I'm reading into it. And you have to judge me for that. You have to hold me accountable for what God says. Not what I think he says, but what he says. I'm just trying to say that I think really what we're saying here is that this angel is saying that Jacob will not give up. Now, wrestling is a very dangerous point. It has the three time periods in high school. It's 2 minutes, and in college is 3. Now they've been wrestling all night. That means that the angel is fresh, and Jacob is hanging on, period. I don't think that Jacob is in any way capable of defeating this angel, and I think he knows it. He's not concerned with victory. That's not his concern. His concern is for the blessing of God. God said he would bless him. He took the birthright from his brother, but his brother can't give him the blessing of the birthright. His father bestows the blessing of the birthright upon him, but his father can't give him the blessing. And the one person that can give him the blessing is the person with whom he is wrestling with in this night. This angel can give him what he wanted all the days of his life, and that is to be blessed by God. This angel can give him the blessing that he wants. And so he wrestles with this angel. Now, they tell us, in special forces of our nation, such as the SEALs and men like that, that you have to be careful not to push them too hard, because if you push them too hard, then they can physically hurt themselves. And so it says that the angel took out the joint of his thigh. Now, what I then was in the martial arts. I was in the martial arts, and in the martial arts, they have throws that they refer to as a high throw. A high throw. That means you're going to go up a little bit. And so, you're on your hip, and so the fellow who's going to throw you, he says to you, "Do you want to take the high fall?" And you say, "No, I don't want to take the high fall. I take the low fall." So you take the low fall, but he gives you the high fall. You say, "And I think what the, I mean, it doesn't say that, it probably didn't happen, but I think the angel threw him just by the fall, itself, took his thigh out," but that's not what the scripture says. The scripture just says that he touched it, the hollow of his eye. And the hollow side was now out. So you see, now Jacob, he cannot even stand up now. He can't even stand up. I picture Jacob just holding on to the garment of the angel, just holding on. And the angel looks down at him, and the angel says, "Jacob, you want to quit?" And Jacob says, "I'll not quit until you bless me. I will not quit." There's not victory that he's after. Victory is not in his mind. What is in his mind is the blessings of God. And God says, "Jacob, do you want to quit?" And Jacob says, "No, I don't want to quit. I will not quit. I will not quit until you bless me." Because that was Jacob's desire his entire life, was the blessings of God upon him. And Jacob's now at the point that he can have what he's always wanted, and that is the blessings of God upon his life. Now, that's the 3 points. The birth, the selling of his birthright to his brother, the giving of the birthright by his father, and the third, the angel of the Lord. That's the 4 points. Now we come to the application. God blesses his people several ways. One is by the individual believer in his spiritual life before the Lord. That is, by the reading of the word and by prayer. That's how he blesses. That's how he blesses. But God also blesses in another way. Besides the private reading of the word and prayer, there's another. Now, the church, throughout all ages, have used this definition. They refer to as the, this is starting to leave my brain now, means of grace. The church speaks of the means of grace. Now, what does the church mean when it says means of grace? That they mean by that statement that there are graces that the church gives to its people by the assembling of themselves together. That is, morning and evening and prayer meeting. This is when God's people come together. And when God's people come together as his people, calling upon him, he bestows blessings upon them in their gathering. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew 18, 20. This is Matthew 18:20. Matthew 18:20. "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." Two or three are gathered, there am I in the midst of them. Now we know, theologically, that God is always with his people. He is always with His people. Always. But when they come together as His people to praise Him, He is with them in a special way. Special way. Now, among the Dutch, they have certain, the Oma, I think it's Oma. Oma is grandmother. Grandmother. She's the Oma. And her grandchildren, they are in church by their parents and they're behaving themselves. But as soon as the benediction is over, the children run to Oma because she's got the candy. And she just loves it because all the grandchildren come running. And she has her pocketbook and she hands out the pieces of candy to her grandchildren. And they love it and she loves it. And in a sense, this is God in worship. He hands out blessings to His people because they are His, they are the body of His beloved Son. The beloved Son who came to die for His people. And now the people are together. And God blesses them specially because they have gathered together. Now you know as well as I do that if the church has the means of grace, you know where Jacob's going to be. You know where he's going to be. He wants those blessings. He always wanted those blessings. And this is the way God's people are. They want the blessings. And they say to themselves, Lord, give us blessings. Give us blessings. And the church says, okay, you can have blessings. You can have private blessings. But also you can have the blessings when you come together and worship. And worship. And so when people come together, they are there to worship. But in their worshiping, God is bestowing blessings upon His people. Now this is a sad case. This is a sad case. I was ordained in 1961. That's a few years ago. And in my lifetime, I think that I could count on one hand children who were brought to morning worship, evening worship, and prayer meeting. I could count on one hand with several fingers missing of the children who followed the example of their parents. That second generation does not have the desire of their parents. Something goes wrong. I do not know what it is. But something has gone wrong. Something has gone wrong in the church. It was easy in the 60s and 70s to say to the covenant children, I want you to come to church on a particular Saturday, on a particular afternoon after school and recite the Shorter Catechism. That was easy. In Kenya, I said, let me start the story. This pastor is in Kenya. And Kenya, you know, they talked about me a little bit too much. And I said, look, it's getting the real world. I said, when I was in Kenya in the 60s, all the young people, every one of them, came to church on a particular, I think it was Wednesday afternoon, and we recited the Shorter Catechism. Now no one does it. And he was looking at me and said, yeah, Bruce, you did it, but I can't do it. I said, wait a minute. I'm in the church I'm now serving. I've been there 20 years. I don't have one family in 20 years that had their children instructed by the Shorter Catechism by myself. One in 20. That's nothing to brag about. That's what we're facing. That's what we're facing in our land today. Something's gone wrong. There was a time in which families worshiped together. And this is, I mean, there are churches, even in the OPC church, that no longer have a Sabbath evening worship service. No longer. Why is that? Well, obviously, something's wrong with their doctrine of the Christian Sabbath. But in relationship to our sermon, we desire the blessings of God. That's what we want. We want blessings. And God says, okay, there are several ways that you can have them. You can have the private devotions, or you can have them when you get together as my people and worship me, and I will give you blessings. And so, we're not talking about this morning who's saved and who's not saved. Well, that discussion is not even on the board this morning. The only thing we're talking about this morning is Jacob and his desire for the blessings of God. And the church today can have the same blessings, but many of them do not want to do what it takes to have the blessings, and that is to be gathered together as the body of believers together. And so you have to make up your mind, as I have to make up my mind. Do we want the blessings? Do we desire the blessings of God as did Jacob of old? I pray that all of us would have a desire to have the blessings of God upon our lives. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus, great shepherd of his people. We thank you for the blessings, O Father, that you bestow upon our lives as we gather together to worship thy great and thy glorious name. O Father, may we desire and crave the blessings as did Jacob of old. O Father, bless this sermon to our hearts, for you ask in Christ's name. Amen. Now let's stand and sing Psalm 119x and 19x, and then let's remain standing for the benediction.